From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We have made this an annual tradition, and it's something that the Connection staff is always excited about. We love having a chance to bring charitable organizations, organizations that serve our community, bring them in right before Thanksgiving, right when the holiday season is kicking off, and give them a chance to come in and talk to our community, talk to our listeners, let you know what the needs are out there. It is not because WXXI endorses individual charitable causes. We can't do that. We don't, and we can't. We can't tell you to give. We can't tell you you should give. We can't pick and choose. What we can do is try to provide you with a wide range of needs in our community. Because frankly, when I started hosting the program, a number of listeners asked for that. They said, you know, we get to the end of the year, we get to January, and we think, boy, you know, I wish I would have known what the needs are in this community. I wish we could have adopted a family for Christmas, bought the gifts for their family, that kind of a thing. I wish we knew what charities need or sort of what their financial gaps were, those kinds of things. So we said, okay, let's bring them in one by one in rapid succession and allow our listeners to hear that. If you are inclined to give and you want to and you can, this is your chance to hear about needs that are out there. And we've already done it for the first hour. We'll do it for this hour as well with a new list. If it's beyond your means, but you still want to know about services being provided to our community, this is a great chance for that too. So you ready? Let's get started. Our guest is Sean Brown from Teen Empowerment. And you might have heard Sean and his colleagues from Teen Empowerment on this program in the past, but if you have not, Sean, first of all, welcome. Good to see you, as always.
My friend Evan, always a pleasure. Good to see you, sir.
Remind our listeners what Teen Empowerment is.
So Teen Empowerment, we're a youth organization. We're located on Genesee Street in Arnett in the west side of the city. And our main focus is hiring young people. So every year, we hire 13 young people to be youth organizers. They look at the issues that young people face in the Southwest community, then organize initiatives, projects, and events to address those issues. This year, the young people decided to focus on self-worth, education, interactions with the police, and something we've been calling the unholy trinity, which is poverty, violence, and racism, and really how those things affect young people, people of color, and really using their voice through the arts, poetry, spoken word, speeches, to really attack the systems that oppress us on an everyday basis.
How many hours a week are they working?
So these young people, we're one of the only programs in the city that hire young people year-round. Most other programs that hire teenagers only hire them in the summertime. We employ young people 14 to 20 from September to the end of June. I mean, they work about 12 to 15 hours on a regular week. And if we're having events or doing presentations or facilitating or leading a group somewhere, participating in a meeting, you know, they might get upwards to 20, 22 hours a week.
It's great stuff. It is. We've talked on the program in the past about budgets and how you can grow. And this time of year, you're thinking about, our listeners may be hearing this going, we should triple in size. We should quadruple
right,
this
exactly,
in size.
Exactly.
But what's realistically, what are you hoping for from the community this time of year, Sean?
So we're a neighborhood-based program, like I said before. So right now we're in a Southwest neighborhood. Our goal and our dream is to expand and have two more sites in the city, one in the Northwest and one in the Northeast part of the city. So any financial support that any listener or anyone would want to share would be greatly appreciated. You can go to our website, which is www.teenempowerment.org/donate/HTML. And we're based out of Boston, so just make sure you specify that it's for Rochester. And basically what we would do with that money would be to grow, build capacity. It's really about staffing. Teen Empowerment is all about a model. The model's been in place for about 25 years on how to work with young people, see the potential in young people, and really have them be a part of the change that goes on in their community. And to build that capacity, we need to incubate staff. And the way we like to do it is to literally have a young person at 16 become a youth organizer, maybe be a youth organizer for 2 years, then become an associate coordinator, kind of more on an adult staff level, and then obviously ultimately be a program coordinator. They would be responsible for all the day-to-day programming. So literally to have a young person from the neighborhood, from the community, rise up, graduate high school, go to college, work at TE, and then become the staff. So if we can start that process now, the next 2 or 3 years, we'll have that next crop of program coordinators ready.
TeenEmpowerment.org. And look for the donate section. Make sure you specify Rochester. We're trying to keep these all 3 minutes or less. We're over our time, but because you're a friend of mine, I want to throw you one softball. But this is important.
Okay.
Because people hear about these things and they're somewhat abstract, but you work with these young men and women.
Yes, sir.
Just give me one example of the way you've seen a life change.
Oh, I'll talk about one young man. He's been working with us for about 3 years now. When he first came to us, he was definitely involved in some negative behavior, definitely had some friends that were involved in some negative behavior. I mean, in a lot of ways, we said he was kind of like living in two worlds, like living the TE life, but still kind of having some interactions out in the street that weren't the most productive. Now, 3 years later, he's the most sought after young person in the city to facilitate, to perform, really brought in a lot of the kids that he used to run with and kind of changed their lives. He's getting ready to go to college. He graduates high school in June. Just to really see him transform where he was a few years ago to where he is now, and at the same time, to deal with all the loss that he's had. Mm-hmm. You know, two of the young men that passed away in the Boys and Girls Club shooting were like brothers to him. He was literally there 5 minutes before the shooting happened. And the young man that passed away at the Radisson over the summer, another one of his best friends, literally like died in his arms. So for a young man to kind of be around all this tragedy, all this loss, but to still have like this drive and this perseverance and this determination and this spirit, positivity, and hope that he really sees that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think every time he has one of these tragedies, you know, we always have a conversation, and he always says to me, like, this is why I do the work. There's still a need for me to be organizing, to be leading, using my voice, trying to empower other young people to change their lives. You know, he said teen empowerment's transformed his lives and gave him the skills to better himself, but also the skills to really impact other young people and adults around him. So I think there's many success stories, but that's one young man that always kind of like sticks out to me.
Don't name names, but just tell him, and if he's listening, if he ever wants to share his story on the talk show, we'd love to hear it. But I'm just thrilled to hear about the success stories like this at Teen Empowerment, teenempowerment.org. Sean Brown, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I just cannot thank you enough for the work that you and the staff do in our community. Thank you.
Evan, we really appreciate it, man, and thanks for having me.
Our next guest is the Manager of Special Events and Community Engagement for the Hillside Family of Agencies. It's Amy Gallagher. Hi, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, very good. It's nice to have you here. And this is a time of year where Hillside is really busy. You're busy all year.
All year long,
of course,
yes.
You are. But specifically for the holidays, what's on your sites for the holidays? What do you want our listeners to know?
Well, one of our large programs that we operate for the youth in our care is our Special Santa program, which provides gift items for youth that are receiving our care, as well as any other children in the house under the age of 18.
And what can people do to get involved and help you with that?
There's a lot of different ways they can get involved. And if they visit hillside.com and click the Ways to Help link, they will see a big list of all of the things that we're always in need of for the kids during the holidays, our most requested items, what the kids love to receive, what they're asking for, as well as where they can go to drop those items off if they do want to go shopping on our behalf.
All right, most agencies are telling us, don't wrap it, we'll wrap it. What do you want people to do?
Don't wrap it.
Okay. Are there most requested items? Is there anything that tops the list typically?
Typically, our most requested items are basketballs, fleece blankets, the bath and body gift sets for the young lady. Legos are a huge need. We're always looking for the Lego sets.
What's your cutoff and timeline for your needs here?
Our drop deadline for gifts is Friday, December 16th.
Friday, December 16th. And where is that, by the way?
We are at 2075 Scottsville Road, and that is our Crestwood Children's Campus.
2075 Scottsville Road, if you want to drop off for that program. How many kids are we talking about? Ideally, you're going to help how many kids?
Well, our program overall serves about 4,000 children. In Rochester, it runs about 2,500. We also have programs in Central New York and Western New York, as well as Prince George's County, Maryland, and new this year, Washington, D.C.
And are you helping essentially all the kids in your program you help throughout the year? Do you help them for the holidays? Do some have more needs than others?
That is what we ask our staff to do, is to identify the families in their caseloads that are most in need during the holidays. Unfortunately, we're not equipped to be able to service every child. There's upwards of 15,000 youth that are receiving services from Hillside. So we do ask them to sort of pick and choose the ones that are really in dire straits and could use a little bit of help during the holidays.
Okay. If you missed any of it, online where again, Amy?
Hillside.com and click the Ways to Help link.
Ways to Help, Hillside.com. Amy Gallagher, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and the staff and all the kids you serve, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Our next guest is Scott Benjamin, who's the president and CEO of Charles Settlement House. It's nice to see you back here. How are you?
Hey, great to be here, Evan, and I appreciate you having me back.
Well, absolutely. Remind our listeners, first of all, where you are, and second of all, what you are.
Charles Settlement House is a human service provider for Northwest Rochester. So we are based in the areas, the neighborhoods that are north and south of Lyle Avenue and near the soccer stadium. That's our traditional home. And as a matter of fact, we are about to begin our 100th year of service in that neighborhood.
Okay. And day to day, week to week, what do you spend most of your time doing?
Well, we have a family services department that provides basic needs, food, clothing, transportation, help with those kinds of things. And we do youth programming, which includes after-school programs for first through sixth graders, as well as a companion summer camp program. We also work with teens in the neighborhood. We operate a senior center, so seniors come in for breakfast, lunch, socialization, health and wellness activities, and we're involved in community and neighborhood capacity building. So this past year, we cut the ribbon on an affordable housing project, the first of our effort in that area. So the Stadium Estates housing near the soccer stadium in the Josana neighborhood, we were a partner with Rochester's Cornerstone Group on that.
How's it going?
It's going great. We actually, as people have come up during that, it was a scattered site development, so people's leases have been being renewed, and the last I knew, no one had wanted to move, which in a neighborhood with 80% rental property is almost unheard of in the city. So it's really making a difference, and we're working right now. I just came from a meeting where we're trying to finalize an application for a phase two that we hope to do in the Josana neighborhood as well.
That's great. Will you come back next year and tell us about it on Connections?
Absolutely.
I would love that. Well, before you go, then, why don't you let our listeners know if you have any specific concerns this time of year, Scott?
Well, this is a big time of year because it's when we do look to the public for our annual appeal and other unrestricted donations. So it's a great time for people to think of us. And in this case, November 30th is going to begin our 100th year. So we will be, over the next year, really celebrating that, having some special events. So we certainly are trying to reconnect with alumni, whether they were Charles House employees, people who went to programs as children, or their parents were members of the senior center, things like that. We would love to reconnect with people. We'll have a series of events throughout the coming year to do that.
And when it comes to that annual need, this is a time of year we've heard from a number of organizations where, say, between now and January 1, a lot of what you need for the year, you hope to get it filled in. So if people want to support you, how can they do that?
They can contact us directly at 71 Parkway in the city. That's 14608. You can always go to our website, charlessettlementhouse.org. We also will be part of Rock the Day, the United Way, and Giving Tuesday on November 29th. So if you do the Rock the Day website, you could also give to us that way.
Hope you have a great year. And thank you so much for the work that you do. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, my pleasure.
We continue in our conversations about organizations serving those in need in different ways around the holidays. And I just want to remind our listeners, this has become an annual service that Connections provides to our audience. You asked for it. You wanted to know, how can we help organizations in need, especially around Christmas, New Year, the winter time, and this is your chance to hear from them. We don't endorse any, we can't. That's not something we can do in public broadcasting. So this isn't our way of endorsing any specific cause. It's our way of letting you know what is out there, and you can decide if you want to get involved. Our next guest is Kim Brumber, who is the president and CEO of the Volunteers of America of Upstate New York. Kim, nice to have you. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, real briefly, kind of reset the mission of the VOA. So many of us know the name, but there's always change and evolution. What's going on with the VOA?
Sure. Volunteers of America, our purpose is to raise people out of poverty to self-sustainability. And our challenge right now is many people think that Volunteers of America closed because the thrift stores closed. Well, that is not true. Actually, what closing the thrift stores allowed is focus on our real mission programs of helping the homeless, children at risk, and people needing employment services.
Has it been a challenge for you in dealing with that public misperception this year?
It has been a challenge. I'm new to the role, and people kept asking me, why are you going there? They don't exist. And it is. We need to get out and tell our real story.
Okay. Well, this time of year, then, specifically, what do you want the community to hear?
Well, we help more than 6,000 people a year that live in poverty, and there's a multitude of ways that people can help. Our Caring Gifts campaign is running right now, which is our donation, and you can easily go online at www.voaupny.org and make a gift towards a service or program of your selection. That's one opportunity. And then there's also opportunities to give directly in other ways.
Okay. Such as?
Such as adopting a family in our children's center. We work with at-risk youth, many at preschool age, and we serve the entire family. And at the holiday times, these are families that do not even have resources to meet their monthly expenses, let alone provide a holiday meal or gift. So if you contact us, we can connect you with a family to do that for them.
Okay. How to contact you? The best way to get involved and to contact you?
So you can call our main line, 647-1150, or contact us, as I said, on the web.
And the website again?
www.voaupny.org.
Still there.
Still there, and going strong.
Happily still there with the mission. So if you've heard VOA closed, it's just the thrift stores, but the mission is still there. And you just heard from Kim Brember, the president and CEO of the Volunteers of America of Upstate New York. Best wishes for you and continued success, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
My next guest is the executive director of the Open Door Mission. Mike Hennessy is here, and it has been a big and busy year for you. We'll get to some of the big, well, the forward-looking stuff toward the end of this conversation. I'll start with this. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me
back.
I'm
very good. It's always nice to see you. And I want to start with just exactly what you need. This time of year is a crunch for so many organizations like yours to meet the needs of the people you serve, to fill out a budget. There's a lot going on. What do you want our listeners to know?
Exactly right. You know, homelessness is something that people think of when the weather gets cold and around the holidays. They think about meals. They think about family. They think about gratefulness and thankfulness. So you think about those things, and then a conversation is, what about people that don't have that? So right now is the time of year, Evan, where we'll, God willing, we'll raise 55 to 58% of our total year's revenue in the next 8 weeks. So it's so important for us to have, you know, when you get my mailer, you know, take another look at that, to donate to us and to go online at opendoormission.com and make a donation. You know what I say this time of the year, if you're considering giving me a one-year end gift at the end of this year, and let's just say it's $100 because it's easy math, consider going onto my website and joining my Door of Hope Club. And instead of giving me $100 before the end of the year, sign up to give me $10 a month taken from your debit card every month for the next 12 months. Not only do I get an extra 20 at the end, but during those slow months and those summer months and that summer slump in July and August when most people go on vacation and I don't get the monthly donations, if 1,000 of you give me $10 a month in August, that helps a lot. So that's one way you could help us in that respect.
It reminds me of the sustaining membership at WXXI. It's a good model.
Yeah, boy, like it's a great model. We got it from you guys.
So they can do that on the website, which is what, Mike?
Opendoormission.com. Donate.
Okay.
Door of Hope.
Door of Hope there. What else do you need right now?
So I want to say one thing about clothing. This community has been giving us an overabundance of clothing for many years. Right now, I need some coats and winter stuff, but I don't need your clothing. I've got about 30,000 pounds of clothing for the winter.
Wow.
We're over in abundance there. You've been very generous. What I do need is I need things that we have to buy, things like paper goods. Most of our meals are given on paper products simply because we could do silverware and plates, but we don't have the dishwashers and that kind of equipment that you need to get it hot enough to keep it safe. So we use paper goods, paper towels, toilet paper, things that we have to buy. Those are the things. If you could give me that when you're at Walmart and pick up a big roll of TP and for your family, pick up one for me too and bring that to us versus your clothing this year, that would help a lot. Things we use every day, coffee, creamer, things like that. Things that you use every day in your home is the same things we use every day at the mission, you know, serving folks every morning, afternoon, and dinner. So those kind of paper goods and those non-perishable food supplies, especially everyday things.
Okay. And if they want to drop those off, what do they do with it?
Open Door of 156 North Plymouth Avenue. We're open 7 days a week, 9 to 5, to drop off your donations right at 156 North Plymouth.
All right. So those are the ways that if you're inclined, you can help Open Door Mission. And next year, You know, as we move into 2017, you have sort of this growth mission that's actually happened and rolling out. Tell us about this.
Yeah, we're really excited about our first Women and Children's Campus. We closed on the building, the convent in Gates at the Holy Ghost Church campus in Gates. We closed on it. We were able to pay cash for it. Thank God for the generosity of this community. We're going to begin quiet fundraising now for the next 2 to 3 months. You will hear more about how the public can help in March or April next year. Don't give to that now. We got to raise our annual budget to take care of the folks we're helping now this year. But you'll hear more about a Women and Children's Campus coming up next year, and we're really excited about it. Hopefully open it before the school season starts next year.
All right. So we'll talk to you about that in 2017, but you gave everyone else the mission for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
So. Yes. And remember, Rock the Day is November 29th. That's a big day for us. We'd like you to give to us through Rock the Day. On December 10th, if you haven't bought your Christmas tree by then, go to Woody Acres and buy a Christmas tree from them out in Penfield, and $2 for every tree that day will go to the mission. And those are a couple of the events we got coming up.
All right, one more time, your website, Mike.
Opendoormission.com.
Okay, there you go. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and all the people you serve. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My next guest is Chris Levin, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club of Geneva. Actually, he wears a lot of hats down there in Geneva. It's nice to talk to you, Chris. How are you?
Evan, we're doing great down here.
Tell us again all the different hats you wear and the services that you guys provide for the community.
Well, mainly the Boys and Girls Club of Geneva has two locations, and we handle about 300 to 400 families, about maybe 150 kids a day, 5 days a week, and then sometimes on weekends. And in addition, we manage a 25,000-square-foot community center, which was a great gift from the community to this private organization. That offers senior services, gym, black box theater, a few other things as well.
This time of year, your mind is on what specifically? What are your needs from the community?
Well, the biggest challenge we have is the food instability of the kids and families that we work with in Geneva. And we're really like in addition to a Boys and Girls Club, we're a little restaurant. We're trying to build a culinary program, but as part of that, we're feeding about 140 kids a day. And that's quite often the biggest meal of the day they get outside of school. And the cost of doing that is pretty impressive across the year. So we could use financial support for the food. But we're also trying to teach the kids in feeding themselves the skills that will help them get some of their first jobs out there in the community, working in restaurants and things like that.
So if our listeners decided they wanted to get involved to help out in any way, what's the best way to do it?
Best way is to go to bgcgeneva.org. That's bgcgeneva.org/support-the-club and drop us a few dollars. The meals we serve each day cost about $1, $1.50 per kid. Anything we can get to help augment our food budget helps us across the year. The single biggest thing we can do to help the kids is their food stability while we're also working on their academics. I also want to give a shout out to Hobart and William Smith Colleges, where we're doing an innovative program this year with 110 tutors per week coming through the Boys and Girls Club to ramp up our efforts to make sure that these kids graduate from high school. So we feed them both body and mind here.
Chris, before I let you go here, I'm curious to know if you have seen in your tenure there, if you're seeing need increase or decrease in terms of the population served and sort of the health of families, the vulnerable kids, et cetera. Is the need increasing or decreasing?
Geneva's on an upswing in so many ways. The wine industry, and we're at the heart of the Finger Lakes, but Geneva itself is also like a mini Rochester or Syracuse. We do have increasing poverty, increasing challenges to families. That's why we're emphasizing both support for the current families, but also education for the kids. So the need is growing, and we can use the help.
I'm Evan Dawson. On Thursday, no connections. We have the day off, and from all of the staff at Connections and WXXI News to you, happy Thanksgiving. Certainly hope you're surrounded by loved ones if you can be, enjoying the day, enjoying the start of the holiday season. Have a great one. We'll be back talking with you on the air on Monday.
Tune in for Best of the Best, the winners of the Third Coast competition. You can hear all these beautiful original stories when you tune in for Best of the Best, right here on your public radio station.
Tomorrow at noon on WXXI.
Do well by doing good. Become a corporate underwriter.
To learn more about connecting your business with WXXI's audiences, email underwriting@wxxi.org.
We continue in our conversation about community needs. It's become an annual tradition on this program. We let you know with a variety of interviews with organizations that are serving our community in different ways. And this is your chance to hear what it is they do and how they might need your help around the end of the year, around the holiday season. And my next guest is Lisa Lewis. She is the Vice President for Crisis and Stabilization Services at Catholic Family Center. Lisa, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Let me start with just reminding our listeners what Catholic Family Center does.
So Catholic Family Center is a comprehensive human service agency. We have over 60 programs at 20 different locations. We serve families, children, refugees. We do provide substance abuse treatment. We do mental health services. We have a plethora of services that we provide. We serve families from really birth to death.
And that's the overview. You specifically are the Vice President for Crisis and Stabilization Services, which means what?
That means that many of the families and individuals I'm working with are people who are in crises and need some type of stabilization. Many times what we see is we see families who come in right now, especially as we head towards winter, who need assistance with their utilities. And so we are providing financial assistance to keep people heat and lights on during this season. And one of our programs, Community Resource Services, we provide the funding for that. So if the community can help us provide assistance to keep children's and moms in their homes without being evicted because they have no utilities, that would be wonderful. But also, my biggest part of my programs is shelter services. I provide emergency shelters for women and children, about 1,600 women and children a year. I have two shelters. So I see many families that come in for a variety of situations, but also during this time, they need hats, gloves, mittens. We also provide a little Christmas workshop and little Christmas giveaway to the families who are in our shelters on Christmas Day. We want to make sure that at this time, even though these families are in challenging times, that they can still have a very happy holiday and they can have gifts. Because I think that's one of the most, you know, most hurtful thing in our community if you have a child who doesn't receive a gift on Christmas. So we would like to be able to do that, whether it's baby dolls, pajamas, little hygiene kits for the moms, but being able to do that, and especially toys for boys. We need toys for boys who are between 8 and 16. Also, I do shelter for men. I serve about 800 men a year. And again, the same thing. We see a lot of men come in who need hats, gloves, mittens, who need jeans. So these are some of the things that we would like to also provide for them on Christmas Day.
All right, so the easiest thing to do, if listeners are so inclined then, is to drop off those items that you're talking about?
Yes.
And drop off where?
You could drop those off at 87 North Clinton Avenue, Rochester, New York, 14604.
Okay, and when it comes to those gifts for kids, is it really just up to whoever wants to give? You know, you can come in, drop off a pile of toys. Are there any specific wish lists or other needs that you'd want them to know?
So one of the things is that we ask that every, you know, individual look in their heart, but we do have a wish list for pajamas, toys, for slippers. If you want more information, you can definitely reach out to us at Catholic Family Center. You can call us at 546-7220, and they will connect you with the appropriate person to give those gifts. But also, during this time, like I said, monetary donations is very helpful because we utilize some of those monies to keep the utilities on. What we do is also, if you do have monetary donations you want to do, we will use some of that. $500 buys 6 months of baby clothes for an individual. $150 buys 3 nights of shelter night for someone who is ineligible to get services through Department of Human Services. So we do utilize those to give back to the clients in our community.
All right. To learn more, it's a 585 number. Do the phone number one more time.
546-7220.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
My next guest is Scott Fearing, the executive director of the Gay Alliance of the Genesee Valley. And as we get closer to the holidays, they've got a number of things on their mind for how you can help them if you want to. So first of all, Scott, welcome. Nice to see you.
Always great to be here. Thank you, Evan, for inviting me in.
All right, so briefly here, what's going on?
Well, there's always a lot going on at the Gay Alliance and in the LGBTQ Resource Center. We are doing right now a drive within our own community, gathering personal care items and items for LGBTQ veterans, working with a number of the veterans resource groups here in town. So personal care products such as soap, shampoos, things like that, as well as towels and sweaters and blankets, stuff like that is always helpful. Within our center, we're doing our active programming with our senior group. We do a couple meals a week, so we're always looking for help either with providing food and or help helping us to fund that work. Our youth program, we've got some dances coming up and some other social activities that are always a great deal of fun when we get them together. And then the center itself, we're always looking for help and assistance with the operation of the center, whether that be answering phones, helping us keep the place clean, donations to our library, our DVD collection, posters, things like that. So there's always something going on, and we're always looking for the community to help us.
How to get involved and how to contact you?
Probably the easiest way is either to stop in directly at our center, which is at 100 College Avenue, or take a look at our website, gayalliance.org, and take a look there. If you get to the website, there is actually a page there to sign up to volunteer if that's what you're interested in.
One other question I wanted to touch on before you go, which is LGBT veterans. We talk a lot about veterans in this community, and veterans are already dealing with so many challenges in their own lives. But I don't think probably enough about LGBT veterans. And maybe I'm asking this because it's the first time I've heard that even phrase put together, and it shouldn't be. But why don't you just tell me a little bit more about the population of veterans, what we know about that, and why specifically you want to help?
We actually have two different programs that we do with the veterans. There's our SAGE Vets group, which is veterans who are over 50. And some specific outreach that we're doing is folks who were dishonorably discharged for being LGBT identified. And we are helping them get that reversed and get put into care and working with the VA system. The VA network has been incredibly supportive of LGBT identity. So that's a really important part of our outreach that doesn't get a lot of attention and can be scary for these veterans who were kicked out to come forward and admit that, you know, that happened to them. And so that's part of the outreach. The other work that we're doing is we're simply calling Vets Rock, and that is working with the local Veterans Resource Center and things like that, doing programming around LGBT issues and trying to break the ice that many of them feel.
Happy holidays to you, Scott Faring, and all the staff at the LGBTQ Resource Center. I hope it's a good one, and thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Evan, for everything.
Our next guest is Carol DeMolin, who is the president of Ronald McDonald House Charities of Rochester. Nice to see you back. How are you?
Great to see you, Evan.
Well, first of all, I think our listeners definitely know the name, but if they haven't needed the service, remind our listeners what it is that you do.
Sure. We provide home away from home for families of ill and injured children who are here seeking treatment at one of our hospitals, Golisano Children's Hospital, most pronounced. And we take care of about 1,200 families a year through our overnight program. We have other programs during the year that also help our families with kids who are going through a tough time.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be in that position any time of year. Who would ever want to be there on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? You think about all that.
You don't plan for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not something that's on your radar until it happens to you.
So what is going on now that will help you around the holidays and this time of year?
Well, you know, as you started to say, families at holiday time aren't thinking about anything other if your kid is sick. You're not thinking about holidays in general. So we do our best to provide that holiday for our families, whether it's through gifting. We do have a holiday house program. We have a wish list that's on our website. And what we do for the families staying with us and the families who are lucky enough to be going home is we pack them a holiday basket. And it includes food items and includes some gifts that are specific to the ages of their children. We try to throw something in for mom and dad because, you know, they're not thinking about each other either, and they're certainly not thinking about themselves. And the other thing that people often like to do, people gather around meals. And so if a group, a family, a group, a workplace wanted to hop on our website and see when they could come cook breakfast or come to the house and make cookies. Those things that you and I take for granted a little bit, our families aren't taking for granted.
So people can come and bake cookies with you?
They could. And you know, I always do add in here that we do get a lot of help during these weeks. Don't forget about us in January. So if you're busy at this time of year, too, and you want to plan for your give back to the community in January, you sure can.
Yeah, that's a great point, because there are times where you hit December and it's almost amazing that Thanksgiving is already over and you feel like your calendar's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to find time for those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea. It's a good pitch to the community to think that if you feel like you're overwhelmed this holiday season when things settle out in the new year,
You can come by. That's right, because we're there 365 days a year.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so if they want to do the wish list, they can find information online.
Yeah, it's www.rmhcrochester.org. And don't hesitate to call us at the house if you have any questions.
rmhcrochester.org for the wish list and more information. And boy, it's really important what you do. You know,
thank you.
Like you said, Airman, none of us want to be in that spot, but thank goodness for the medical staffs and the work that they do. But also, thank goodness for you guys. So thank you for being here.
Adam.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and
same.
Hope it's a wonderful season.
Same
for you.
To you.
Our next guest is Shane Reinwald from The Strong, National Museum of Play. It is a time of year where a lot of kids want to be inside instead of outside. Well, kids like to be outside all year round, but that's a great place for kids to be all year round. I know you're seeing a lot of kids, and what's going on around the holidays? What's happening?
Hey, Evan, great to be on. So all December long, we are bringing out Miller Manor, which is one of the largest dollhouses in the museum's collection. So it's more than 7 feet wide. It has dozens of rooms, hundreds of little Christmas lights, fireplaces, really intricate, beautiful to look at. So that will be out with some holiday displays throughout the month of December. And it's not just for the kids in December. We also have the happiest hour coming up, December 7th, which is our adults-only event, 21 and over. We're going to have a little bit of a holiday ugly sweater party.
Adults always love the chance to be in places where kids usually get the run of the place. So what would you say to people in our community who also look at your organization, look at what you've become, and say, I love what you do? Is there outreach for families who may be more in need, you know, opportunity for kids who come from families of lesser means to enjoy The Strong?
So The Strong has educational and outreach programs. So we have programs that are access programs for disadvantaged, economically disadvantaged families in the community. Foster families can have free access to the museum. And we also have programs where we're working with pediatricians, physical therapists, and people that are working with children with special needs so that they have access to the museum and can take advantage of the different elements in the exhibits.
I know it means a lot to people in the community. Have a great holiday season. Thank you for
Thank
being
you.
Here. It's always great to see you, and thanks for the work that you do at Strong.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Evan.
Our next guest comes to us from Isaiah House in the city of Rochester. Kristen Kilday is from Isaiah House. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you. And first of all, just remind our listeners what it is Isaiah House does.
Isaiah House is a home for the dying. It's for people who have been given less than 3 months to live. And we're often reaching out to people that have lived their lives on the street, homeless, drug addicted, sometimes with mental illness. We're often opening the doors to people who don't have any other options.
There are probably some really poignant moments for people who I think just want to be able to have dignity in those moments. How would
Yes.
you describe it?
I would say that for a lot of the people that we welcome, it is truly their last chance. You know, to be surrounded by love, to be treated with dignity, you know, all different ages. It's so sad to think that people can go through their whole life and think that their life didn't matter to anyone. And we try to change that.
Do you hear that? Do they say that?
Oh, they say it. They say it. They don't feel worthy of love. They don't think they matter. They don't think they can make a difference to anyone. And what I often will tell people is if you have 30 days to live, I want them to be the best 30 days that they can possibly be. And we focus a lot on the living. What can today be for you?
Is there ever an effort to sort of reconnect with family or reestablish relationships?
Yeah. And sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't, you know, and often our volunteers, they become the person's family.
How do they end up with you to begin with?
Well, very often we'll hear from social workers, nurses in the communities, physicians, and what we'll get is a phone call or a fax. But most of the time when I get that phone call, it's, Kristen, if you don't take him, no one else will. So it's a huge responsibility for us because we know that a lot of the people that we're welcoming into our homes, they don't have another place to go. You know, they're going to the streets because they don't want to conform to the rules and they don't want to die in a facility. but they're willing to come to Isaiah House because it's a home. It's an environment where they can come and go as they please, because you hear a lot about dying well, but I truly believe dying well is being able to die the way that you want to, not the way other people think you should die.
Is it tough for you or the staff?
It is difficult because you see people go through a very painful time in their life. And I'm not talking about the physical pain. I'm talking about the emotional pain that can go with it. But I will tell you, our focus is on the living and knowing that we're truly making a difference. Someone is dying with dignity. They're dying surrounded by love. And dying is looking much differently because of us.
So this time of year, do you have any specific needs? What would you want the community to know about you?
We're always looking for donations. We're a 501c3, and we don't receive any type of reimbursement other than donations. And just household items that, you know, we can use flannel sheets and soft blankets and stamps and soaps. And, you know, unfortunately, being in the city of Rochester, we just don't seem to get the support that some of the other houses get in the outlying towns.
Why do you think that is?
I really don't know why that is. We've been here for 29 years. We're a quiet, humble ministry. That might have something to do with it. I don't think enough people know about us.
Okay. Well, for these needs then, especially these household items, can they just drop off directly to you?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you?
We're at 71 Prince Street in the city of Rochester.
71 Prince. They can just come right up to the door?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
And how many people are staying with you? How many people do you serve?
We serve two people at a time because we can work with volunteers as long as we don't care for more than two at a time. But typically it's about anywhere from 25 to 30 people a year.
Okay. Well, and now you've got a sense for what Isaiah House does here. One more time. It's 71 Prince Street.
Rochester, New York, 14605.
Okay. And if they want to send contributions, they can send them there, drop them off there. Whether it's monetary or otherwise, if you're so inclined. Thank you for the work that you do. I know it's not easy, and I know, you know, I just have so much respect for the work that you're doing in those tough moments. So thank you. Thanks for serving the community, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Our next guest is Brian Wirth, who is the Director of Development for Holy Childhood. And Brian, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Remind our listeners what Holy Childhood is and does.
Holy Childhood is an agency. It's a local agency that's been around Rochester for 70 years. We provide services for folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We have both a school program and an adult program.
And again, you said for 70 years, but how do you compare now to 70 years ago? What's the growth and change been?
Oh, significant. It first started as a school for kids with developmental disabilities, you know, with one small classroom, and over 70 years, it's grown to 116 students and more than 100 adults.
And again, where are you located?
We're in Henrietta, right off of Groton Parkway.
Okay, and this time of year, what specifically do you need the most?
Well, you know, every organization does an annual appeal. We're no different than most other organizations. We're doing our annual appeal right now. We do an annual letter appeal. We also do online giving, and we also utilize social media. The funding that we raise through our annual appeal goes to unfunded or underfunded programs. It's also going to help us with a new initiative that we've just spearheaded, which is the growth and development of our Special Touch Bakery. I'm sure you've heard of our Special Touch Bakery pies. They're world famous. We're actually in the process of creating a new baking facility off of Mount Reed Boulevard. It's going to enable us to expand greatly our production of those legacy pies that everyone has come to enjoy. It's also going to help us employ initially an additional 25 bakers, both developmentally disabled and non-developmentally disabled people working side by side in an integrated environment. And over the next 5 years, increase that workforce by about 40 people. So that's what we're looking towards over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years.
By the way, you use an ingredient that's just evil. You use kryptonite. I mean, for me, those hit the newsroom. Those, if a pie hits the newsroom like that, it's impossible.
They do not last long. No, they not in a newsroom or not in anybody's kitchen,
no,
frankly.
They do not. So when you talk about unfunded or underfunded programs, is this what you're talking about, or are you talking about others as well?
We're talking about other underfunded. For example, we have an aquatics program at the agency where the students utilize the pool that we have. It's a full fully handicapped accessible pool. That aquatics program is underfunded by about $90,000 a year. So all the funding that we raise through our annual appeal and all of our appeals throughout the year go to help offset some of these underfunded or unfunded costs that we have.
And now, if you're successful between now and the rest of the year, well, is this a big portion of the annual budget that you're able to raise?
Not-for-profits can expect between 30 and 40% of their donors to give in December. An additional 12% will happen in the last 3 or 4 days of the year. So yeah, it's a big time of year for any non-for-profit, both Holy Childhood and any other non-for-profit out there doing an annual campaign.
You're too nice. You keep referencing that you're not the only one in this position, you know? I mean,
well, we're not, you know, and
you're
and
so humble.
You know, we really, you know, we have a lot of collaboration with a lot of other organizations in the community. And we're all looking to raise the money that we need to do all the good works that we do.
All right, Brian. So if people want to help, what's the easiest way and what would you like them to know?
They can go to holychildhood.org. It's very easy. You click on the link to donate. It's a simple donation process. You can give through the online donation link, or you may be one of the 15,000 people that are going to get a letter from us in the next day or two, and you can send your donation in through that mechanism as well.
Through the mail there. Okay. Happy holidays to all of you. Thank you for being here, and I know it's a busy time of year. Thanks for coming in, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Our next guest is Arnie Sohinke, who is the executive director of the JCC, who is generously taking time on the line for us now. I know it's a busy time for all of us. Thank you for taking the time, Arnie. How are you?
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of this.
Well, very good. First of all, everybody sort of knows the JCC, but if you're not a member, you might not be fully aware of the wide range of things that you guys do and what you offer. So why don't you let our audience know about that?
Absolutely. So we have a wide range of activities for birth, starting at birth all the way through senior adult life, and it's a scope of activities through physical fitness, through cultural arts, theater, book festivals, film festivals, playing bridge, swimming, all kinds of activities. We have two camps, a day camp and an overnight camp that operate during the summer times. We have vacation time programs for kids. We have a preschool for early childhood education. So it's a wide scope of activities that we provide.
Arnie, you mentioned playing bridge, by the way. My father has played bridge for years. I have never played. Would it be above my head?
They sometimes can get very competitive, but they are very friendly games. I haven't played since college, but I don't venture into the games.
Yeah, it's nice to hear there's still an active bridge scene, though. I like that. It's very good. But very honestly, there's a... every time I'm there, whether it's to see a performance, I'm there for kids' parties... there is a real sense of community there, isn't there, Arnie?
There is. You know, we welcome everybody into the JCC. As, you know, they come with families, they, you know, single-parent families, they come as adults, as seniors. It's great over the Thanksgiving holiday to see all the college kids back in town as they're down there playing basketball, playing racquetball, just a place to hang out.
As we move into the winter and into the holiday season, everybody's doing something a little bit different. And what would you want the community to know about from the JCC perspective?
Well, I think they should take advantage of some of our new facilities. If they haven't seen, we're just winding down a $17 million capital campaign with renovations. We opened up 26,000 square feet of new fitness space and an additional indoor family pool that has zero entry level. So accessibility is very easy, whether in a wheelchair, a walker, or for young children to just walk right into the pool and feel very comfortable. So there's a whole gamut of activities that people can take advantage of during the vacation time and during the holiday time.
What do you do to make sure, you mentioned sort of wheelchair and handicap accessible, what do you do to make sure that the JCC is accessible for all in this community?
Well, we test it out. We hear back. We get feedback from our members. And, you know, we walk through it and we make sure that everybody can get around, whether we put in a new elevator to make it accessible for people to get through the fitness center from one floor to another. We have an accessible entrance that's in the back by the fitness center so people don't have to walk through the front door, but they can come through the back door and be right at the fitness center. We just try and make it as easy as possible for people to get around the JCC.
Finally, Arnie, what's your favorite time? What's your favorite part of this time of year?
Watching the kids celebrate. You know, we're getting into the holiday season. You know, for us, we celebrate Hanukkah. And the kids from our Wilk Center will gather in the lobby area. They'll light the Hanukkah. They'll sing the Hanukkah songs. And it's just nice to see everybody walking by, stopping and seeing them singing and celebrating. So it's just a great time to be at the JCC.
Remind people where the JCC is.
It's 1200 Edgewood Avenue. And telephone number is 585-461-2000. Or go on our website, JCC Rochester. You know, to find more about our activities and different programs that we offer.
Happy Thanksgiving, happy Hanukkah, and thanks for taking the time for us.
Thank you to you for including us.
And that does it for our annual program on holiday and winter giving. We want to let you know that the organizations you heard represented today will have information in a list on wxxinews.org/connections. That's the connections page. So maybe you heard an organization, maybe you were driving, and you want to check it out, or you want to learn more, or you say, boy, I never knew about this group, but I didn't fully catch the name or remind me what that was. Just go to the website and we'll make sure that list is there for you. You heard various deadlines, but the holiday giving season really is on now. And I want to thank our listeners for kind of pushing us to do this program, not to endorse any individual charities or causes. WXXI can't do that, and we don't, but just to let you know it's out there. There's so many wonderful people serving our community this time of year and all year round. Thanks to them. Thanks to you for what you do to help make Rochester and Western New York and the Finger Lakes a great community. Thanks to my son, Reese, the little guy, 4.5 years old, as you heard him say, officially 4.5. He helped spark this idea, too. Our thanks to the engineers of this broadcast, the entire WXXI newsroom, Megan Mack, the outstanding producer, puts this all together. And I'm Evan Dawson. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful first holiday of the holiday season, and we'll chat with you on Connections on Monday.